puke. Pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Now, for the next 30 minutes, As the World Turns.
For viewers of the CBS soap opera, As the World Turns, first word came at about 1:40 p.m. Eastern Time. It happened too quickly for cameras to be in place.
And I gave it a great deal of thought, Grandpa.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
Then it was back to the soap opera, but not for long. Soon after, Walter Cronkite was back, reporting from the CBS newsroom, complete with rotary telephones and wire machines.
This picture has just been transmitted by wire. It is a picture taken just a moment or two before the incident. If you can zoom in with that camera, we can get a closer look at this picture.
And almost exactly 1 hour after his initial bulletin, this now famous announcement.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago.
I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had a chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day America died. January 22nd, 1963. Here we are, November 22nd, 2019. Vividly remember that day. No, I'm not doing an assassination day, but if we could just somehow go back, figure I'm 60, I'll be 67 years old next week, and go back to when that happened to me in 1963. I was 10 years old, and I remember when it came across I was in the fifth grade. I remember when that came across, and to think how America has, in my lifetime, in that 57-year strand from November 22nd, 1963, to where we are today, the changes in America. See, this was the day that America died. Why was it the day that America died? Because from that point on, our trust in our government began to fade, eviscerate. We knew it. They told us about, the Warren Report, and we'll just go on conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory. And here we sit in 2019. And it's also so plainly obvious to anyone who has eyes to see and ears to hear that our government is totally and completely corrupted. I wrote about that yesterday. I didn't get a chance to talk about it. Really what's going on with the government. See, government now, the purpose of government today is to expand and protect government. Now, they tell us it's about us, protect us, but we know that's not true. And right down the road from where we live is an ODOT, Ohio Department of Transportation, massive building. They're one of their main offices, beautiful. And I drove by there yesterday, and I looked at all the different offices, and I thought, what are those people doing there? What do those hundreds of people who work for the Ohio Department of Transportation, what do they do? Hundreds of them sitting before their computers inside that building. What could they possibly be doing? I mean, it's just make work, right? So we're seeing it more and more. And we saw it yesterday in the, again, in this phony impeachment thing that's going on, the expose of government. And so we have to figure out what we're going to do. And that's part of what I've been talking about, a game plan. And what folks, the government's not on our side. The government, the government, whatever that means, the dark forces behind the government, they're not on our side. And it started November 22nd, 1963. Have you ever been to Dealey Plaza? I don't know if you guys have ever been there or not. I remember when I first went there about 10 years ago, I was a big Kennedy assassination buff. Read everything I could ever read as a young guy growing up. And so to be able to walk out there for the first time and stand in Dealey Plaza, they still have on the ground, on the road, an X where the car was when Kennedy was shot. To be able to stand there and walk up and look at the grassy knoll and go up the grassy knoll and look over that fence where they believe that the shots were fired and see where Abraham Zapruder stood and all that stuff I'd always heard about all my life, to be able to sit there and look, came painfully obvious to me that they drove Kennedy into a ambush. Connor, I don't know if you can do this real quickly or not. Try to pull up a picture of Dealey Plaza. D like a deal, D-E-A-L, Dealey, D-E-A-L-E-Y, Dealey Plaza. See if you can get a picture of that. Because when I went to Dealey Plaza for the first time and I saw it, I said, my goodness. And I okay, cool. Boy, you got a lot of them. Let me see which picture I'd want you to, my goodness. There it is. Connor, do the second one from the top. Yes, sir, that one. Now back up, everybody. Back up there. Back up, up, next one. No, next one beside of it. Okay, that's, can you make it a little bit bigger? I don't know if you can. So just so that everybody understands, if you see right there, Connor, put your pointer right in that brown building. Right at that brown, yeah, right there. If you could, folks, you look at that, that's the Texas School Book Depository. And Connor, go down to that road right in front of it. Right there, yes, sir. Come down this way, then come down the bottom. This is the road where, no, the other way, bud. The other way. There, now come to that road right there. Go back up, Connor. Go up, right, stop. Back a little bit. That's basically where John F. Kennedy was shot. There's the grassy knoll right to the left of it, the grassy knoll and the trees. But here's what I want you to see and understand. If you come back clear to the, come clear over to the right edge of the picture, Connor. You're right there. Keep coming. You're doing great. Come on down. That road right there. That road right there. Stay there. See, that road is a direct shot. When John F. Kennedy was coming down, he was coming down that road, okay? But here's what they did. Go back up just a little bit, Connor. You see where that semi-truck is? Yes. Okay, now, they drove him into an ambush. They turned right. They're coming off of that road. They turned right. And Connor, go towards the school book depository now. Yep. Keep going now. Now turn left. Come on down. They brought him right down that road. They drove him into an ambush. Now that road there, keep going down, Connor. That road keeps to that. It dumps right back onto the same highway they drove him off of. Right there, those two roads merge. So look at that. They drove him right into an ambush. Until you go there and see that, then you can understand what's going on. So, hey, long, long time ago, I can still remember music used to make me smile. It's one of the most impactful moments of my life and changed the course of American history. Anybody else have a comment on that? I'm going to get off the Kennedy assassination, but I couldn't go by without making them. America's never been the same. Never been the same. Cool. Boy, I got a lot of good stuff today. I always do. It's a Flea Flicker Friday. Bobby Lee is doing another. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, I love my wife. Get a good picture that way, Connor. Get me up on the screen there. Why am I wearing this today? Because on Sunday, this Sunday coming up, 24th of November, Michelle and I will have been married 40 years. 40 years. Rob Pugh gave me the shirt. I love my wife. I do love my wife. I don't know if there's anything more special than a happy marriage. I really don't know. I don't know. And I just want to publicly acknowledge how much I appreciate and love my wife. 40 years. Wow. They say in the end, it's a wink of an eye, don't they? Don't they? Bless you, Michelle. Bobby Lee is heading back to Louisville, Kentucky. Bobby, I don't know if I can make it. I'm going to try to make it back to the abortion clinic on the 30th, which is this Saturday coming up, I think it is. And anybody that's in that area, contact Bobby. He will be there. There will be others who are certainly going to be there. But some of you guys down there are close in that area and would love to go and be with Bobby. And again, I don't know if I can clear myself. Still working on Bobby. But that's there. Cool. Cool. Awesome. Okay, great. Another thing. Coach, what are you doing here? Anybody got anything you want to flick on the table? Let me hold it right there for a second. Anybody?
Yeah, Coach.
Uh-huh. Oh, Mike, great news on Polly. Give us the great news on Polly, please. I had that written down, forgot to say it. Great news on Polly.
Yeah, that's okay. We heard back from the CAT scan yesterday, which was the major source of news about whether the cancer had spread outside of the ovary that was removed, in which the cancer was contained. And the good news is the CAT scan revealed no other cancer in her body. So that's the good news. Bad news is that because it's high grade and not low grade, chemotherapy is indicated. So 6 courses of chemotherapy will commence in early December, lasting probably 4 or 5 months, costing $10,000 to $30,000 per course. And there's 6 courses.
What?
And we don't have insurance.
Mike, $30,000 per
shot, per treatment, and there's 6 treatments required. That's what's indicated for this particular form of cancer. The good news is that the CAT scan and the blood test confirm that she's stage 1A. There's 4 stages of cancer. Stages 3 and 4 are considered very supremely dangerous and actually probably will shorten your lifespan. Stage 1A is there's like a 90 some percent chance that she's never going to have this cancer again. So
praise the Lord.
By that news. Yeah. Thank you for fasting. Thank you to everyone.
Yep. Some are fasting today. Some are fat. Cause listen, we went through the whole thing with the insurance and all that. That's good news, Mike. It's good news. And let's just hold on to what we believe to be the truth. And healing is the children's bread. And I'll just go ahead and say this kind of tinfoil hat. Ever since Jeremiah Thomas got sick and I saw all the people who prayed and everything that went on there, I just been really, really kind of hesitant to figure out how do I say this? I don't sound too crazy. Is cancer a sickness or a demonic invader? And I don't really know, because I've watched what goes on with cancer and people who get it and praying and fasting and how, you know, just a condition of cancer. And, you know, if we pray, is it possible sometimes we pray for cancer to be healed when in fact we need to pray that cancer would be cast out or broken at its root? Is there a demonic force at work in cancer? I don't know. I don't know. And it's easy for me to sit here and tell somebody else what kind of treatment they should go through. And you'll hear people say, I wouldn't take any of that chemo. I wouldn't do that. That chemo kills you. And there's truth to that. There's truth to that. You just got to change your diet. Natural. Yeah, there's truth to all that. But there's something.
When it comes to prayer, Coach.
Pardon me?
And when it comes to prayer, we don't need to know how to pray. If we pray the way Jesus taught us to for his will in that situation.
Amen.
Why do we need to know? Why do we have to be able to tell God what to do? All we've got to do is say, God, do what you want.
Amen. Your will be done. You're not going to change his will anyway, are you, Larry? I mean, you're not going to, folks, we don't have to beg God. We do not have to beg God for anything. We don't have to beg him. And there's no formula. You know, the scripture, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's a great scripture. But I ask myself, okay, how do I be, I know how to be fervent. How do I be effectual? I don't want to pray if it's not effective. Who wants to pray an ineffective prayer? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I know with my own children, my own situation, my life, I don't, my grandkids don't have to beg me to give them stuff. I love giving them stuff. And our Heavenly Father is the same way. So what is the disconnect? What is it? And nevertheless, thy will be done. Thy will be done. So we've been taught so much about healing and prayer. And unfortunately, a lot of it just isn't even true. Formulas, trying to have formulas for prayer. So we thank you, Mike and Polly, that the scripture says the very steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered by the Lord and delight in their way. So we trust, as Larry would say, we just trust the Lord to do what he wills. Just pray that. We believe his will is for her to be healed. And that's we're gonna pray his will be done. Cool. Anybody, Flea Flicker Friday, I got some good stuff, but I'll let flick something out there if we want to.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Well, I won't get into this deep, but when Jesus, when he came to Peter's mother-in-law, he rebuked that fever just like he did a demon and a sickness of any kind. So right. What I'm saying is this, it's all part of the fall. You know, it's all demonic. It all came from satanic influence. So whether we get healed, manifest in our body or not, we have authority over it. Whether we, despite what happens, we have authority over that. And it's not part of God's design.
It certainly isn't. It certainly isn't. And so I don't want to get trapped into the whole idea of formulas, prayer formulas. I mean, the Bible says this kind comes out only through prayer and fasting. And then, see, it's just the way we are. Then we want a formula for the fast. Is it a 3-day fast? Is it a Daniel fast? Is it a water only fast? What kind? Easy, easy, easy. It's not like get a turnkey, right? Oh, Lord says, I wanted to heal you, but oh, you just missed that one step. One step in your prayer. If you had just said, oh, man, you were right there. If you had just said this. No, that's not the way it works. And we get into that mess because we just don't understand the spiritual realm and how God operates. And we really, really don't get it. Just really don't get it. And as everything else, prevention is the best cure, right? My wife and I started her on it again this week. That sounds crazy. We started on it again every morning. See, cancer cannot live in an acidic environment. Can't live in it. And so one of the things that I used to do, and then I stopped for a while and just started up again, every morning now I'm taking a tablespoon full of baking soda, mixing it with a tablespoonful of apple cider vinegar, the good stuff, not the cheap stuff, and mixing it with a teaspoonful of lemon juice. Mix it together and drink it. And it's supposed to help balance your pH. So that sounds like stupid, but I'm throwing that out there as something that some of you might want to do.
Fresh squeezed lemon,
but not enough. I use that lemon, that real lemon, whatever that is, too. Probably fresh squeezed lemon's probably best because it's a pH.
I've been using that basic formula: apple cider vinegar, baking soda, and lemon juice as a over the counter antibiotic for decades and decades.
Yep, that's what I said.
Apricot seeds as well.
It's an acidic environment, folks. It's a non-acidic environment. pH gets messed up. I mean, there's a lot of formulas, right? What's the best prevention? What's the best cure? Prevention. Prevention. I got to show you this. This is pretty cool. I was listening to Hagman and Hagman last night, or the Hagman Report, I guess is the name of it. And Steve Quayle was on there with Tom Horn. It was fascinating, by the way, talking about wormwood and some other stuff. Anytime you listen to Quayle, it's pretty amazing stuff. But he said something. His daughter, His daughter is a rising star in Nashville. How many of you knew that Steve Quayle's daughter is a rising star in Nashville? Well, pull it up there real quick. I got a little video I want you to see of Steve Quayle's daughter, Stephanie. In fact, there's a video, if you go online and check it out, there's a video of her performing in front of all living presidents, except Donald Trump, at one of those galas, whatever those things are. But so I was listening to Quayle last night, and I was listening and said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I knew she was a performer. I probably can't show too much of this because they'll ban me, I would imagine. But that was pretty interesting. This is Steve Quayle's daughter, Stephanie, and this title of this video is Winnebago. Go ahead and play that. Play part of it real quick there, Connor.
Don't you want to see more than this? How about we blow this town a goodbye kiss? Don't you want to get out of here? Why don't we leave our troubles in the rearview mirror? I got a little bit of cash saved up, just a little bit of change in my coffee cup. It ain't a lot, but baby, it's enough. We're gonna ride on love, ride on love. Hop on in to my Winnebago. We're gonna go wherever the wind blows. Why so we'll fly by out the window.
Okay, Connie. Because they'll ban us if we play too much. I just thought it was unique. Stephanie Quayle. So go ahead and YouTube and check her out there. It's she got a lot of good stuff up there. So God bless Stephanie Quayle. Yeah, I'll go there. Listen, flick. Anybody want to flick anything? I'm going to flick some stuff here a minute if somebody doesn't jump in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just wondering if we're going to do anything about going to our local ABC studios.
Well, Serge, we need to. But Serge, our response from our crowd here was about four people.
Yeah, I know. So I think I'm just going to do it, and hopefully somebody else will do it in their own town.
Well, let's you and I get together here, Serge, and let's pick a day and let's make it happen. Nobody else going. Hey, we're fire starters, aren't we, Serge?
Yeah.
That fire deserves to be started. I'm going to show you.
I think
you
we had four or five of us for the Carolinas, and I'm still up for going, either doing it here local on that day or all meeting and having all of us at one place, like in Charlotte, for the Carolinas.
Okay, we got it. We have to. I'm with you, man. We got to put some organization into it and make it happen. And I think it's all good. I think it's all good. We need to do it. We got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of stuff we need to do. Now I want to show you this. Connor, go to Liberty Hangout. It's the third thing down, the 1 minute and 25 second mark. We can start it right there. When I went to the Democratic debate here in Westerville, Ohio, what was it, a couple weeks ago, a month ago now, maybe 2 months ago now, I ran into Caitlin, and I recognized her right away that she was she runs the Liberty Hangout. She goes around to different things and interviews people on the street. And had a good conversation with her. Seemed like a real sweetheart. And I got this email from, I got this video yesterday. And I just want you guys to watch this. And I don't know whether to laugh or cry, but it is a great evidence of what we are dealing with in the American culture. Now she's doing on the street interview. And here's what she's going to do. She's going to ask people on the University of Kentucky campus couple questions. And here are the questions that Caitlin asks. Question number one, should we put feminine products, tampons, pads in men's restrooms for women who dress like men? And should we put into women's restrooms, I think it's condoms. I think. Now, here's what we think, right? Here's why I want you to play this. I want you to watch how the average American male has been neutered. I want you to watch how many of these people say, I don't want to get involved. Whatever. Just watch the brainwashing. This is at the University of Kentucky. And Connor, I think you can put it at the 1.25 speed, which will, and we'll still understand it, and it will speed it up a little bit. And as I said, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. Caitlin Bennett, Liberty Hangout. Go ahead.
Important question for you.
Okay.
Should we put pads and tampons in the men's restroom to be more inclusive to men who have periods? Here on campus.
I'm not going to answer the question because I don't want to offend anyone. But
what? You're not going to say your opinion out of fear of offending someone? You're a man. Come on. What do you think? Should we be more inclusive towards trans people by putting urinals in the women's restroom?
I mean, they got to do what they got to do. So, I mean, it's not
because not all women have vaginas. Some of them have penises, right?
I mean, I don't know. I just mind my own business. I'm not that big into it. Uh-huh. All right.
What do you think? I mean, should we put tampons in the men's restroom?
It would not bother me because, again, we do not pick who we become and who we are, so it's up to them.
Because not all, because men do have periods too, right?
Well, genetically, no. Not, well, biologically, no, but that middle area, because it is a spectrum.
What's a spectrum?
You know, when you're born, you have an X and a Y chromosome. You can be in the middle, all this.
You either have XX or XY.
No, it's kind of in the middle. It's just...
No, literally, you either have XX or XY.
Okay, I'm just gonna...
What's your major?
Psychology.
And you don't know about chromosomes and male and female?
I do know about chromosomes and male and female. I'm just on my way somewhere instead of somebody.
All right, we'll put tampons in your bathroom. Should we put urinals in the women's restrooms here on campus to be more inclusive to women who stand up when they pee because they have penises?
Yeah, I think so.
Why?
I feel like everybody should have like the right to identify themselves as who they are, and they should be included. And so if they identify as female, but they were born as a male, so I feel like if they identify as female, then they should have the right to use the female or the women's restroom, but don't have the ability to actually, you know.
You got some big bucks buying $200 AirPods. You know, you can donate to me at caitlinbennett.org. You can go there. He's got $200. He can buy some merch or donate to my Patreon, patreon.com/caitlinbennett. Hello! Would you like to have tampons in the men's restroom?
I don't see an issue with it.
Me neither. Yeah, it's necessary. Yes, yes. Should we put urinals in the women's restrooms here on campus to be more inclusive to women who have penises? You know, they stand up when they pee.
I mean, if there's the money in the budget for it, sure.
Okay. Okay, well, what if there was money to put free tampons and pads in men's restrooms for men who have periods?
If there's budget, I don't see a problem.
Okay. Do you see a problem with me asking you about men having periods?
No, I mean, it's a college campus. There's a lot of ideas to share. I mean...
What is a period?
I mean, what?
What's a period?
Biological function.
Of?
I'm confused. What do you mean?
Who has periods?
People with the
people?
Organs to do that.
Who has organs to do that?
Okay,
Uncomfortable.
It's a good question, yes.
Mm-hmm. What if I gave you an option between men and women? Who has the organs to have a period?
That's a very good question. Yes, thank you.
He needs a girlfriend to understand who has organs to know. If you were to walk into the women's restroom and you saw a woman with a penis there using a urinal, would you be concerned or would you accept it and be inclusive? What would you do?
It's none of my business.
None of your business that a man is in the women's restroom.
If they're in the women's restroom, then they identify as a woman.
Oh. Who would have known men walking into... Okay, don't question anything about men walking into women's restrooms ever. They're just there because they're women. They're not predators. No. Hello. Hello. Oh, thank you.
Huge fans.
Yes,
huge fans.
I'm glad you went down there. They treated you like crap at that Trump ceremony.
That's okay. I'm a strong girl. Oh.
My phone died.
How dare you? You got some spiffy shoes on. Yeah. I really like them.
Thank you.
So I have a question for you.
Okay.
It's real easy. It's not hard or anything. Do you think we should pass an initiative here on campus to put tampons and pads in men's restrooms for men who have periods?
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do, right? I mean, men having periods and men having a period, so. I say yes. I say men go through hardships, you know what I'm saying?
Especially if they're having a period. That sounds pretty hard on them, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've never had one, but I mean, I'm sure there's a couple out there, you know, have a little cramp, a little stomach ache, you know, something like that, you know?
You know it's more than that, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's just like...
What is a period?
It was like the, like scientifically. Okay, well, like, well, in the most basic terms, dead eggs, and they excrete from the, well, in a man's case, from the penis.
Do men have eggs?
I'm gonna have to.
I guess to shed that uterine lining, right?
It's 2019.
Where's 2019? Genetics can change.
Everything can change.
Penises turn into vaginas?
Yes. I mean, come on now. I mean, technically we all have both.
Should we put tampons and pads in the men's restroom for men who have periods?
I would say yes. Because myriads are real.
Myriads? What is that?
A man period.
Do women have penises?
I don't know.
All right, well, okay, we don't know who has penises and vaginas. Okay, have a good day.
Folks, this goes on for about 20 minutes. Goes on for 20 minutes. It's unbelievable. You see what we're up against? Do you see what's going on in our universities? By the way, public-funded universities. And like I said, I don't know whether to laugh or whether to cry. If we can, Jared or Connor, go ahead and put that in the chat so people can get a look at that thing if they want to. It's Caitlin Bennett, Liberty Hangout.
Hey, Coach, do you know if she finds anybody?
What's that, sir?
I was just wondering, did she find anybody with common sense at all in the whole
video?
Well,
we know, I'm sure she did, but they probably cut that out, right? So they just showed, Serge, how many people would actually believe that there's such thing as a myriad, that a man has a period, or this that a man crazy. Has a vagina, or a this, woman has a penis?
This is crazy.
These are college kids. These are people who are studying, some of them, the hard sciences, right?
Our future leaders.
They're going to be our future leaders, man. This is insane.
No. They're our future downfall.
Well, yeah, let me jump in here. This is the example of why everybody's not supposed to go to college. I can't wait till these college campuses start shutting down.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I noticed most out of everything that I watched there. I watched people's eyes. Eyes are the windows of their soul. And I would watch Caitlin ask them a question, and I would watch them freeze in their response for one reason. They wanted to be politically correct. They in their own mind, they were not free to say what they thought. So she asked a question, and immediately they went into political correctness mode, and some just walked away. I don't care. I don't want to. That is what we're dealing with, folks. What we're dealing
Coach,
with. Yeah.
But our local schools are good.
Yeah, our good ones are. Yeah, ours are good. Ours are good. This stuff isn't being handed down. Nuts.
Hey, Coach, I got to admit one thing. When I had the problem with that sore in my mouth, I had to go to UB campus 3 times.
University of Buffalo, yes.
Yep, and I didn't see one man there. It scared me. I didn't see one man walking around.
You mean man or physical man?
Man.
Yeah.
A real man.
Yeah. Nope, they're not. Men in particular, man. Men in particular have had all of the testosterone stripped right out of them, right?
Yeah. One more thing. Where are the real men? Because one other thing, that guy admitted he was a psychology major. Like, we need another one of those. And I would say that probably most of those people were human service type people of some type, whatever. Aside from that, football's been emasculated. We know what's going on with that. I went to a kickboxing certification last week, and there was about more than 15 people in there, and 3 guys. Right. Most of them were women. So you got women that teach us how to be men in public schools. You have women that have emasculated our American football sports. And now you have women teaching us how to fight. This mess of women telling us how and when to demonstrate manhood needs to end.
It does, Bobby, but we're so far down that rabbit hole. I don't know. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. The Cleveland Browns had a big fight last week in their football game, and their best football player, Myles Garrett, took a helmet off of another player and swung it at him, and they suspended him for 6 indefinitely. Well, yesterday he had his hearing to appeal his indefinite suspension. I'm sorry if you guys don't aren't up on this story. But you can see the video very clearly that before he did it, the guy who he swung the helmet at, Myles Garrett tackles the guy. He's got him down on the ground. The guy that's down on the ground for the Steelers tries to grab Myles' helmet and pull it off. And Myles is getting up off the ground, and the guy kicks him in the goods. All right. Myles Garrett pulls the guy's helmet off, and a melee ensues, and he swings the helmet. There it is. He swings the helmet at the guy. Should never take your helmet to swing at another guy. So yesterday, Myles Garrett has his appeal before the NFL. Does anybody know what he used as partial defense? This shows you, by the way, I love the Cleveland
race card.
He
race card.
Played the race card. Now, here, listen. I don't care if he played the race card. Here is what. This is where we are. He was hoping the NFL would say, oh, he called you a name. Okay, then that justifies you beating him. Do you understand it, folks? Do you understand that we live in a culture and a society where this guy can say, he called me the N-word, therefore it's okay for me to hit him with a helmet? That was part of the defense.
Now, Coach. Right? Coach, I coach homeschool football, so we don't hear that. But you know, as a coach, the filthy mouths that are on that field, that word is probably one of the least vulgar words that are used on a football field.
Yeah. He should have said, hey, Dale, he should have said he called me a homo. That's what he should have said, right?
There you go.
It just shows where we are, see, folks. It's all part of this programming. Okay, cool.
Now, Coach, if I may, just on a completely, totally different subject.
We flicker
Caitlin, I can't remember what was the name of the girl that was doing the interviews.
Liberty Hang.
Yeah, you need to contact her. You're actually on one of her videos when she was in Ohio, the Democratic Convention.
Yeah, that's right. And I know that I had quite a conversation with her actually. So she does good stuff, right? She's just gutsy, and she goes out, that's good stuff. And it is what it is. Hey, listen, I get this all the time. Robert, you get ready. We got to get some Bible in here at some point, although I think on Flea Flicker Friday here, we're probably okay to try to get away with this. I get this a lot. They say, hey, Coach, where do you get your information? What websites do you trust? Let me, folks. Do not visit Drudge. Do not visit the Drudge Report. Do not encourage Matt Drudge. He's gone left for some reason. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but supposedly Matt Drudge is a homosexual anyway. But he's really, really gone left. Really, he's a never Trumper. Really, really gone left. So do not visit the Drudge Report. See, they make money off clicks, right? Don't even click there. Don't even go there. So I'm going to give you right now, Connor, if you go down here, I'm going to walk you through some places that I go. And Connor, maybe we can copy this whole thing and give it to people so that they can, maybe we can put it in the chat so they can do it. These are some of them that I recommend. If you want to know what's going on from a pretty clear, unbiased position, there's a lot of them. Here's some of my go-to. First one I go to is whatfinger.com. What? Who, what, huh? Whatfinger. 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 Whatfinger.com. And it is it's a Drudge. It's a conservative, truly conservative Drudge Report. Whatfinger.com. Okay. I'm sorry if you guys are taking notes, you can be a good one. Then I go to the Gateway Pundit. The Gateway Pundit. Gateway Pundit, and it has a lot of really, really conservative news on it as well. The Gateway Pundit. I'm sorry if I'm doing this quickly, if you're trying to take notes. I visit those two every day. I visit beforeitsnews.com. Now, they stream our program, and I'll be honest with you. There are a lot of things at beforeitsnews.com that are edgy. So you have to pick and choose, you know, what rabbit hole you want to go down. Connor, maybe you could just, I don't know what's going on. Just type in before it's news. Before it's news. beforeitsnews.com. And they have a real conglomerate. In fact, we're streaming there right now. It's a good website. You just got to pick and choose which, you know, they got all kinds of stuff there. They got a lot of conspiracy stuff, but there's a lot of good stuff there. Okay? beforeitsnews.com. And we thank Michael for streaming us there. Streams us there every day. Appreciate that. Then I go to stevequayle.com. stevequayle.com. And Steve has a lot of good stuff, but if you go down, scroll down, he always has a news section. There they are. There are news stories right there, each one of them. Click on any one of those, and you'll see that it takes you directly to a news story. So there, he links to other places. stevequayle.com. I know I'm going to get straight shoot stuff, sometimes edgy stuff, from stevequayle.com. Then to the Conservative Treehouse. I go to the Conservative Treehouse. And it has a lot of really good inside conservative stuff. The conservative, am I going too fast here? Okay. Then I have a series of YouTubes that I visit, not always daily, but a good one is to go to Greg Hunter. What's it called? Watchdog.
Greg Hunter.
USAWatchdog.com. Greg Hunter gives a weekly a news breakdown. He used to be a guy for CNN and CBS. He was a news guy. And now he does a Greg Hunter weekly news wrap up. He has his own website, USAWatchdog.com. Really, really good inside stuff you can find. I just go to YouTube and I type in Greg Hunter, and then you can subscribe to it and you'll have it. Then another one that I have is a guy named Dave Janda.
Welcome Dave back to the Operation Janda. Freedom YouTube channel. What we do,
and his is Operation Freedom. And he's a doctor, a doctor out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And you can see right here, the title of this one down at the bottom is Stopping the Deep State Impeachment Hoax. And Dave gives you good inside information on what's going on there. That's Dave Janda. His website is operationfreedom.com, I believe. But I go, you know, he does a podcast. He really, really, really good stuff. There, DaveJanda.com. And then the last one, this guy is months ahead of everybody else. This is George Webb. George Webb can tell you it's all solved. He has all the evidence. He has all the evidence on everything. I'm just telling you, it's amazing, amazing. So if you guys are sitting around, rather than put on Limbaugh and Hannity and listening to that controlled news, this is a George Webb is all over it, man. 1960. Give us that version.
Okay, here we are.
Dr. Bob got a haircut. He looks good every day.
Yeah, I do that every 2 or 3 months.
The first step to evangelize the world is to Christianize the church.
Christianize the church.
That'd be good.
Here's the title, Snake Oil or Holy Spirit Oil. It is impossible to keep up with the myriads and myriads of false teachers today. It is time-consuming to expose the many dangerous and yet popular religious bandwagons which are circling the modern church, selling their newest brands of snake oil. The devil will infiltrate any church today that opens the door to him. The devil is no respecter of persons or of denominations. He loves to disciple pastors who will listen and infiltrate churches which will compromise. The devil's deceitful spirits love to preach to the pew dwellers just enough distorted gospel to get them, quote, saved. And just sell enough religious drugs to keep them high and happy, and dispense just enough prosperity gospel to keep them spiritually bankrupt. Ultimately, each Christian is responsible to know and practice the truth, to follow Jesus, obey his commandments, and to be Holy Spirit taught. It is by knowing and abiding in the truth that one is set free, and by practicing solid food that one discerns falsehood. Christians who stand on Christ, the cornerstone, and on the foundation of biblical apostles and prophets will stand strong and not be blown about by every wind of doctrine, nor deceived by false apostles and prophets. Those who take their stand on the shifting sands of popular religious opinions, false prophetic proclamations, ear-tickling sermons, vain imaginations, and man-made theology will never mature in sound doctrine.
You know, Robert, something that jumped out at me right there as you said it. The winds of, I lost it. Every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. What do you suppose that means, folks? A wind of doctrine. Because the scripture says that specifically, doesn't it, Robert? Talks about Ephesians 2:20. Against the wind. Oh, what does that? Pull that up there real quickly, Connor, if you would. Ephesians 2:20. What does that say? So we can take a peek at it here a minute. Blown about with every wind of doctrine. Wind. I thought that's an odd phrase. 2:20. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple, in whom also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Where is it? Where does it? That doesn't say winds and doctrine. Where is that, Robert?
That's 4:14.
I'm sorry, 4:14. Ephesians 4:14. That's an interesting phrase. Winds of not winds of belief, not winds of actions, winds of doctrine. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What do you think a wind of doctrine is, folks? What is a wind of doctrine?
Coach, I think it's God. Okay, we have God's breath, which in the beginning was what he breathed into Adam. Okay, that's God. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, we have the other one is the opposite, is from the serpent. It's a hiss. It's a different wind. It's if you study that out, he's a whisperer. It's like, so this is what I see in this wind of doctrine. It's like, hey, you don't want to do that like Jesus. Do it like this. It's a whisper. It's two different winds, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
I think a wind.
Go ahead.
Well, a wind comes and goes. It blows here and it's gone. It's like passing fads, like church growth movements, different fads, different theologies, different ways.
Amen. And a wind comes from different directions continually, too. It just keeps changing. It doesn't stay the same.
Wow. And how about this, folks? Wind has no impact on a deeply grounded and rooted tree. See, when I hear winds of doctrine, I think of sagebrush. You turn on your old favorite Western, and there's that sagebrush rolling down through the town. Why is the sagebrush rolling down through the town? Because it is without root, right? And so what what they're talking about here, winds of doctrine, meaning not rooted and grounded on truth.
That's true, Coach. What does the wind blow away? Dead leaves, dead branches, no fruit.
No fruit, dead things, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we were to think about it, what would be some of the winds of doctrine that are root? See, a sagebrush used to be alive, right? It used to be part of something, but it died and got blown off. And so we see what's crept into our churches are these winds of doctrine, unrooted foundational doctrines that are blowing in, blowing out. Prosperity movement.
Two things about sagebrush. One is it generally grows in very shallow, soily area where the soil is very shallow. It is easy for the wind to uproot it and tumble it along. And number two, the sagebrush itself is as tough as nails. It will dull a knife in a heartbeat if you try to whittle or cut branches off of sagebrush.
Wow, Larry. Wow. So every wind of doctrine. Wow. So unrooted doctrine. Hey, Connor, quickly, go to Webster again for us here. And let's look up doctrine, D-O-C-T-R-I-N-E.
Hey, while he's doing that, one more thing about sagebrush. My dad killed a deer out of Nevada one time whose major diet was sagebrush because that's what grew where that deer lived. That entire deer, there was no piece of meat in that deer that was good for anything other than making sausage. It was so, had such a strong sage flavor throughout the whole deer.
Wow. You are what you eat, huh, Larry? You are what you eat. Webster's, I think you have to say Webster's Dictionary, 1828, I think. I'm sorry that I don't have it.
Hey, Coach, another thing with wind, see those towers? It was just up. If that doesn't have a base, a building, any kind of structure above the ground, that doesn't have the right base and foundation, the wind will turn it over in a second.
You're a concrete man, right, Randy? You're a concrete man. That's what it's about, right?
It's all about wind load, Coach, most of it.
Doctrine, in a general sense, whatever is taught. Hence, a principle or position in any science, whatever, is laid down as true by an instructor or a master. The doctrines of the gospel are the principles of truths taught by Christ and his apostles. The doctrines of Plato are the principles which he taught. Hence, a doctrine may be true or false. It may be a mere tenet or opinion. Unbelievable, huh? So the winds of doctrine. Fascinating. Because how many of us are blown about by the winds of doctrine? What? That God loves everybody? See, people still get mad at me when I say that. God hates all workers of iniquity. Just take that one verse, God hates all workers of iniquity, and Esau I've loved, Jacob, whatever. I always get that backwards in my head. There's definitely, he loves this guy and he hates this guy, right? So this doctrine of mercy, 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 grace, 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 is wind of a doctrine, I think. See, it's a wind of a doctrine. The idea that God is, God's okay with homosexual Christians. How could anybody open up the Bible anywhere and find a doctrine that is foundational that would say God loves homosexual sodomites in their sodomy? Is there one, Larry, Randy, Joe, anybody knows one? Is there a, can you find a doctrine in Scripture where it says God loves the practicing sodomites? Can anybody find that for me?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I was reading a scripture last night that we had little tracks in the ice cream truck. It says, Jesus loves the little children. I looked at that and I thought, it didn't say the homos and the evil adults. And he loves the little children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why? Because a little child comes to you, to him innocently, right? Innocently and open and willing to serve and do whatever. Well, hey, listen, I know I kind of been all over the place today. I have been all over. I got 20 more things I could talk about, but I'm running a little bit low on time. I want to say this before we wind down here today, folks. This whole thing that's going on with the impeachment and all that stuff. Here's what's at the root of this. Okay, we're now beginning to see that much of the money that is being embezzled, and that's what it is. It's being embezzled. Is being embezzled through foreign aid. Billions of dollars went to Ukraine and it ended up in the hands of American politicians.
Well, look at Haiti.
Pardon me?
Look at Haiti.
Look at Haiti. Same situation, right? And so we understand this. We give out all this foreign aid. Where's all this foreign aid? We don't know. We're giving the foreign aid to the Ukraine. Okay. Is the Ukraine accountable for where that money went? No. And what happens? It ends up going back into the pockets of the politicians. Money laundering at its finest. That's what's going on with foreign aid. It's so obvious now. It's so obvious. And so Schiff and all those guys, they're trying to protect themselves and keep all of this from being exposed. That the greatest ripoff of American dollars is foreign aid. Dare I say it? Here it comes. Including aid to Israel. You think money going to Israel doesn't end up back in the pockets of conservative politicians who support Israel? If you don't think that's going on, well, you're more deceived than what I would think you would be. Always follow the money. Always follow the money. It's what's going on. It's no more complicated than that. These guys are getting their hands caught in the cookie jar. They got cookies all over their shirts, and Donald Trump is the cookie monster. That's really what it is. That's really what it is. And that's why you see that you do understand this, don't you? Very few Republicans are standing up for Donald Trump. Why? Cookie monster. He caught their hand in the cookie jar. It's all encompassing with all of them. It's not Republicans good and Democrats bad. It isn't, folks, it isn't that. It isn't that. You got Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows, and you got several guys who are standing up fighting hard for Donald Trump. But a lot of Republicans are very, very quiet. Why? Because they know which way the river runs. And they know that the true expose on where all this foreign aid is going to come right back to their campaigns, their family members, their businesses, their organizations. It's not any more complicated than that. And let's pray that somewhere, somehow, that according to the scriptures, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Nothing hidden. And that only salvation for our American government is a complete purging of this wickedness that's taking place inside. Remember what Hillary said? Hillary said, if he gets elected, we're all going to hang by nooses. Hillary said that. We're all going to. Why? Because it's one happy family. Government is an entity unto itself. Have a great weekend. God bless you. We'll see you Monday morning.